Right, here we go. We're back with another weekly Mint Sauce Chronicles. I hope everyone's in good health. This will be released on the 4th, if you're listening to it now. 4th of March. We're in March already. 2023. Years are rocking on. Thanks for all the emails. If you need to contact us for membership or anything like that, you can email us on sheepfarm, info@sheepfarm.co.uk. info@sheepfarm.co.uk. The format, I always explain this because we do get asked. We'll try and release a minimum of 4 shows a week.
A week, Jesus.
shows will be released on Saturdays. So if you don't get an email notification, it doesn't really matter because there will be a new show on a Saturday. Unless we've done a live one on a Thursday, then there will probably be one on a Saturday. Members get full podcast plus, which is normally about 2 hours plus, plus download, and non-members get part one, which is normally about an hour-ish. And as I say, the podcasts are always available on sheepfarm.co.uk. If you go to podcasts there, you'll see the latest one. Thanks to everybody who listens, subscribes. Thanks for support of members and everybody else who sends in nice emails. There was an issue
I mentioned
last month about quarterly sign-ups. That's been sorted now, so everything should be good to go on that. What do you say, Chris? Sorry.
No, I'm going to say we're also on Audible, Amazon Audible. I noticed the other day because I've signed up to it.
We're on a few, Chris. Yeah. We're on via Podomatic, Spotify, Amazon Music and Audible, Player FM, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, Ghana, Boomplay, Deezer, Apple Podcasts. I think we're on, and we're definitely on Google Podcasts.
I don't know if we're on Apple, to be fair, because I've listened to
podcasts. Well, it says we are.
Oh, really?
It says we are, yeah.
I'll have another look. I signed up to Audible because when I'm in my shed, just to listen to something different. I've never really listened to audiobooks, but they're not that bad. But I'll just warn anyone, I signed in for the 3 week, month or whatever, and I don't know how to de-sign. So those evil Amazon bastards will get you one way or the other.
Yeah. So we're mowing on into March now, and this month we've got Jerry Mazinski live on 16th, which I'm looking forward to. That should be a good catch up. That won't get moved unless Jerry rings us or contacts us and says move it. That's on live now. We've got a few other people penciled in to do have chats with as well. I think Dr. Mark Nest is back end of month. So, yeah, I've had quite a few people over the last few weeks in the clinic who I've met, ironically. I mean, I'm in and out of there, so I'm not there all day or what have you, but interested. One person came in and left a lovely review, and apparently I'm the godfather of ozone, Chris.
Right. Well, well, I've never heard of it until you told me about it, so you might be the godfather.
I don't know about that. So, yeah, if you email us and tell us you watch Sheep Farm, if you're wanting to come, I'll make sure you get a good offer on there. Don't offer it everybody, but there you go. We're also been heavily recording the Huxleys. We're up to about 3.5 hours now we've recorded of it. I think the first three will be released in a three-part or a four-part series of podcasts. I think we worked out there'll be roughly at least 7 hours, I reckon, of podcasts on the Huxleys.
I know, 18 hours.
No, I'm on about the first part.
Oh, sorry.
No, yeah. But total, probably be about 18, 20 hours.
Is it a rough guess? Probably longer, no one knows. Because you drone on a long time.
Yeah.
I just saw your Sheep Farm Cup there, because we're still messing around with this merch shop, aren't we?
Yes.
Being the slack knackers we are.
I don't think we're slack. We had a problem with, we mentioned in the last one, we had a problem with the logo where we'd seen one that were very similar that sold clothing. And
A big company as well.
Well, I don't know if it were massive or big, but it were bigger than us anyway, put it that way.
Well, they sold shirts for 150 quid, so I reckon.
Yeah, but they might not sell any. But anyway, they're the clothing company, and the sheep's head that we have as a logo, it were very similar to that one. And I don't want any grief, just to sell a few T-shirts. So we've got the guys redesigning it, so that's what the holdup is. Although some of the stuff that we do we could do without that sheep's head.
Yeah,
anyway.
We came up with an easy solution, didn't we?
Yes. Do it so, with the logo. Anyway, yeah. And then when we get one sorted, we'll put the logo on it. But there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other people have been asking about Godflamast. They couldn't understand our Yorkshire accents pronouncing Godflamast.
I've emailed a few people about that, yeah.
Yeah, so have I. And Lance at Rise Above, they call him Godvaj. Now, he's not called Godvaj. He's called Godflamast. And you go into YouTube, and it's Godevlamste. He's a Belgian guy, I do believe. He's called Wim. And if you go onto his YouTube channel, he's got some fantastic videos on there. Be prepared to have your head fried.
Yeah. Yeah. He's I've watched all them. Brilliant.
Yeah, over and over again. Every now and again I go through a blitz and watch them again.
I forget, actually, and then I remember to watch them more. I'll watch them again. It's a crazy theory, isn't it?
Brilliant. Yes, it is. It's some crazy theories. Vit C, I'm getting asked by a lot of people about vitamin C. I might do quite a lot on it at some point, because obviously people who might have heard one talking about it before, obviously they might be new to the podcast and not heard me going on about it.
To be honest, out of everything, that is the thing you wang on about the most.
I wag on about everything, to be quite fair.
No, but vitamin C is your literally daily.
It's one of them, yeah.
Mm. Take it on a daily basis, don't
you? Yeah, every day. But people ask me, what do you take? And so I take sodium ascorbate vitamin C powder. I also at times take liposomal vitamin C, which is, some of it's like in a gel form or some of it's like in a liquid, and it's more bioavailable, it's more absorbent, so you don't waste as much. But it is quite expensive as well. So vitamin C, I like covering all bases. I'll go to a clinic and have a vitamin C IV as well. But if you're having sodium ascorbate, people say, how much do I take? And I always say, start low and build up and see what your levels are. The worst it's going to do to you is make you go to the toilet, go through you like a Porsche.
Half a teaspoon at a time.
Yeah, half a teaspoon at a time. Have it with food, you're away. So I have half a teaspoon in the morning, breakfast, half a teaspoon with your lunch, half a teaspoon. Don't have it on your lunch. Have it in some juice or some water. Yeah.
Just say them again, Fai, because I'm the one who always has to answer, where do you get this stuff from?
Where do we get it from? You can get sodium ascorbate from any Amazon, eBay. There's plenty on there. Sodium ascorbate powder. Don't have capsules, don't have tablets. Sodium ascorbate powder. And some of the wake-up moments I've had with vitamin C have been quite astounding when my kids have been ill, mainly because some people say to me, oh, I bet it's placebo. You know, you've had it and got rid of it. Well, I'd say vitamin C were one of those things for me with Lyme disease that was a daily lifesaver. I ain't saying it got rid of my Lyme disease because it didn't. Not on the doses you take orally, no chance. But what it did do, it damped down the symptoms for me. But I've seen it when my kids have come home from school and they've been rough. You know, the times where you lay them on the couch and the fever and all that type of stuff. And my eureka moment with my youngest was, this was about 7-8 years ago. He came home from school, fever, laid him on the couch. I said to my wife, I've just given him a full teaspoon of vitamin C. He thought, well, it's the first time I've ever given him that much. And he drunk it down. And she went, oh, bollocks. I said, what? She said, I just gave him some about 10 minutes ago. I said, how much? She went, a teaspoon. So he'd had two massive heap teaspoons, which a teaspoon's about 7 grams.
Yeah.
Roughly. So he'd had about 14 grams of vitamin C in two teaspoons.
If you don't need it, that'll go through like a Porsche, won't it?
Yeah. But within half an hour, he went up and running around. It was like, what? Even for me, who's taking a lot of it, it still amazes me.
I had a similar one with sister, and I think hers weren't quite as dramatic as that, but it was like a runny nose and a cough. Mm. I mean, I get a sore throat every now and again, and I take it, and it literally goes away.
But imagine that sore throat could be something you could have walked through, gone to the shop and walked through some sort of fucking dust cloud that's been dropped on us. Exactly.
I think the spring shit on us.
So you come back and you get a random sore throat, you know, get some vitamin C down here.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of people are suffering that respiratory
issues and stuff. Yeah.
issues and stuff. And I think, without sounding like a total conspiracy theorist, I think it's what we're getting spread with.
Well, it could be sprayed. It could be frequencies. It could be zapped. It could be in water. It could be anywhere, right? But there's something happening. Something's happened.
Just to go back to vitamin C quickly, fight. So, what was it called again? The one.
Sodium ascorbate powder.
The sodium ascorbate powder.
Yeah.
What's the other one that Clive DeCarl says? Because you.
Well, me and Clive had a.
Some people prefer the other one, don't they?
Yeah, there's two sorts. Sodium ascorbate. The reason I take that is because it's gentler on the guts. It's mixed with bicarbonate soda, and ascorbic acid is like the full strength one, and that's like eating a teaspoon of that's like eating 3,000 lemons at once.
I don't mind either, to be fair. I don't mind both.
It's not that I mind either. It's the fact that I can get more in if I use sodium ascorbate. Now, don't take my word. I've got a mate of mine who won't touch sodium ascorbate. All he'll take is ascorbic acid.
Is that crap?
It's irrelevant. Pardon?
Is that crap
clause? No, not him. He's got a guts like a newborn baby, him.
All right.
He can hardly handle any of it.
Well, the only reason I'm emphasising this is because we will get emails about which one is it again, and I'll have to answer.
Yeah.
But I'm happy with both.
I've taken both.
Yeah.
I've taken both.
No, I'm just saying, just in case people ask.
Yeah.
You can get it on Amazon, can't you, in powder form?
Always take it in powder form. And obviously there are different qualities, but start off with what you can get. You know, then move on if you want to get some of a bit. When I say better quality, what you tend to find is sodium ascorbate and ascorbic acid. You know, where you're looking to where it's coming from then, and what
fillers.
That type of thing. But there's no fillers in the powder, or there shouldn't be. The thing is that you've got, as long as you're getting some vitamin C in you.
Yeah.
End of. That's
get some vitamin C in.
Get some vitamin C. It's a no-brainer for me, vitamin C, and for what it does as well. I mean, there's other nutrients. It's not just about vitamin C, but I'd say if I were left with anything, what would I take? It'd be vitamin C, then magnesium, and vitamin D, and all these others had fallen behind it. But me and Clive had a conversation where he likes ascorbic acid, and he says sodium ascorbate's shite. It's not shite. If somebody can only take that, then they've got to take that.
I don't think he said it was shite, did he?
Not shite, but in comparison to ascorbic acid, yeah.
I don't mind either.
That was my Yorkshire thing coming out there, but it's more the fact that I think, I was talking to somebody in clinic today. You can only use what you can get, for argument's sake. The cheapest health benefactor is your brain. Changing your mind on what you do. Changing your diet's the biggest one. There's no doubt about that. But even foods you think are superfoods can be an issue for you as an individual. So even if you cut out gluten and dairy and all the other stuff that are known inflammatory foods, something within a superfood could be causing you an issue. For me, it was spinach. Spinach caused me an issue.
Oh, really?
For some other people, tomatoes cause me an issue. Yeah? So you make a choice then. Do you carry on eating them, or do you cut them out because they're causing you an issue, even though you like them?
What do they call tomatoes? What's the night something?
Nightshade.
Nightshades.
Yeah, onions, chilies, all these things.
Is that why? Because I read somewhere that the skin, the tomato literally attacks you because you're eating it. But if you Italians boil when they're making a tomato sauce, for instance, they blanch the tomatoes and take the skin off.
Yes.
Is that getting?
I don't know why they do that, but I would.
Right. It just popped in my head the other day. Is that the reason why they do it traditionally? And also, you know, like you talk about cooking with olive oil and it's carcinogenic, it gets too hot, etc. They slow cook everything.
Yes.
They wouldn't do that sizzle like we do.
They don't burn it. They don't overcook it.
They don't burn it. So it isn't.
It's not carcinogenic what they do.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, they've got the best olive oil, haven't they? So,
I'm talking different things. I've actually got some from a mate of mine from Italy.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've got tomatoes, all varieties, potatoes. I have a problem with potatoes, eggplant, peppers, curry powder, chili powder, cayenne pepper. I have a problem with cayenne pepper. That has a So all these things cause inflammatory. So let's just say you've got joint issues, right?
Right. Yes.
What I found was that if you cut out gluten, I expected everything to disappear, and it didn't. So what I realized was that if I were eating 10 foods that caused that one problem, for argument's sake, and I only cut one of them out, yeah, it weren't going to get rid of the problem, were it?
No.
I had to cut out all 10 out, but finding all 10 were difficult.
All those things on your list there is everything I like.
Well, that's the problem, Chris, because the problem is that I talk to people and they say, I like them. I like that. This is the problem, because that's like self-harming, isn't it? That's like me saying...
No. Actually, it's quite funny because that list you've got there of peppers, blah, blah, blah. I once went for an acupuncture, and you know when they look at your tongue? And she said, you've got a hot diet. You eat a lot of hot food. And she said, do it. And I said, I do, actually. Yeah. She goes, I love chili. She goes, it's not just that. She goes, I mean hot as in everything's pan-fried or, you know, everything's... It's almost cooked. Like an adrenaline.
Yeah.
You know, you could even describe red wine as a hot, you know, like a, it's a stimulant. That's what I'm trying to say. You know. Because I was telling her I had trouble sleeping as well. She said, everything's a stimulant.
Yeah. And we
even the way you cook it.
And here, look, I used to love curries. You like curries. But they're highly inflammatory, curries. And if you've got an underlying condition, whatever it might be, and we've all been given these conditions, we've just been talking about being sprayed with stuff. God knows what else has been happening with these frequencies and stuff like that. Vitamin C helps your body get rid of radiation. I mean, on another note, we've already spoke about the gene that helps us detox, the MTHFR gene. The MTHFR gene helps us methylize food as well, which turns food into energy and get the nutrients out and all that. And if you've got a methylization problem or your MTHFR gene's turned off or it's on amber, it's not working right well, then you can't detox all these toxins out. So what vitamin C does help is detox these toxins out of your system as well. However, going back to these inflammatory, so you've got several layers. You've got the easy ones, dairy, gluten. The problem is with gluten, it's in wheat. The problem is with wheat, it covers probably 70% of our diet. Because it's in everything. I saw a guy, wife was showing me this Dover sole, favourite fish. And it was this fantastic cooking it. Then he rubbed it in flour and fried it. So even fresh fish, they're rubbing in flour, right? Sometimes, obviously, I ask them not to. But what I'm trying to say is, so everything you see is got wheat in it. Now, we can't digest wheat or gluten like we used to be able to digest gluten hundreds and hundreds of years ago. It's not the same thing, is it? The wheat that's grown now is not the same. It weren't sprayed with all the shit that they're spraying it with now and all the other stuff.
Didn't you say that they put it in jibber-jabs? That's why we have a reaction to it.
What, wheat? No wheat in there.
So why has everyone got an allergy to wheat these days? Obviously, well, working in the kitchen.
Well, there's several reasons. One, it's not the wheat that it used to be, for argument's sake. Our bodies can't digest it. Also, gluten is like a protein and a carbohydrate in one. So your body doesn't know what to do with it. And it also causes, and I'm jumping around here, so I'm not going to explain all of it, but it causes mini cuts in your intestine. And it grabs onto your intestine. Your intestine cells, I think, I might be wrong here, but it's they're the quickest cells to sort of redevelop, reproduce yourself. And so it cuts inside of your intestine. So let's just say your standard diet's eating a bacon sandwich with HP brown sauce on, for argument's sake, and butter, in a tea cake. Imagine how many ingredients are in that. So if you were eating gluten and you've got a problem with it and it's cutting your intestines as it's being digested, and so microscopic bits of this sandwich are going into into areas of your body that shouldn't be, you're going to build, your body's saying, whoa, what's happening here? So then it starts a course of defense. That's when you get a reaction, an intolerance or an allergic reaction to foods over a period of time. Because they're going into places it shouldn't end up. You're only talking to microscopic particles here, but because then it seals itself back up again after it's regenerated. And also, all this gluten sticks to the inside of your intestines and your colon and stuff like that. And it blocks up the receptors. So the receptors in your intestines, when you're digesting your food and it's passing down, they grab out all the nutrients. Yeah. So you basically, whatever nutrients are in the food are just passing through you. And that's if you're not constipated or you're not whatever, right? And so eating these foods, I can only speak from experience, but eating these foods is causing a lot of the illnesses. Because if you get digestive issues, the likelihood is you could end up with anxiety. So if you think about what happens is you got digestive issues, you go to your doctor. Your doctor he gives you some antacids or something to get rid of bloating or whatever it is. Don't give you digestive enzymes or tell you to clean your colon out. They then go on to cause other issues like anxiety. I say anxiety because when you're bloated and you feel like you can't breathe. So then they prescribe you with antidepressants or something like that. And this is, and I'm jumping over stones here, but that's the catalogue of things that the doctor goes to. But if you went to another doctor and didn't tell them you'd been to see that one, they'd diagnose you with something else. Like it's the only job, right? In your kitchen, if you food poisoned 10 people, they'd be closed down tomorrow.
Yeah.
They can poison 10 people in a day, every day, and they're still open.
Or 80% of the population.
Anyway, I know we've gone on to about diet. I don't know where that came from because it didn't even
know what to talk about. A lot of people are interested in that stuff. Yeah. Right? One annoying thing for me as a cook is when people say that they've got gluten, they're allergic to gluten. Can they have gluten-free bread? And you say, do you know your sausages has got gluten in? They say, oh, that's all right. Yeah. Cry for attention.
Well, it's strange, you know, because if I go to, say, an Italian with Nick's mum and dad, and they'll be eating garlic pizza bread, just go have a slice, you know, You know, they don't understand what you've gone through to get yourself to a place where you can actually function. Four or five years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do this podcast. My head would have been fogged up, concentrate. I just wouldn't have been able to put the notes together, let alone do any research, that type of thing. They don't understand where you were because you couldn't explain to them what it was like. So, you know, it won't bother you if you just have one piece of garlic bread. It was like some sort of drug pusher on me with a piece of garlic bread. and you know what? Nothing had pleased me more than having a piece of garlic bread or a curry. Yeah, exactly. but you know what? I don't look at it as though I'm losing out. Fortunately for me, I didn't miss out on any food because I hit loads of crap. So I don't look at it, just because I'm not eating 10 curly whirlies or drinking 5 bottles of Dr. Pepper, I don't feel like I'm missing out.
I won't pretend I've got the best diet. A lot better than it used to be, but
Do you know when I look at it now, Chris, after doing all this research, and not just on health, but the research we do with sheep farm, is that diet, I'll include alcohol as well, diet is how the controllers, is one of the biggest controls, more than prescription drugs, because everyone eats and everyone drinks, yeah? So if you don't drink alcohol, but you drink Lilt, right, for argument's sake.
Do you know what? I'd rather drink a bottle of red wine than a bottle of Coke.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying it's any better, but...
But is it? I'm sure if it were organic red wine with no bloody preservatives in it, probably wouldn't be that bad for you, to be fair. However, that's how the controllers. And giving these things up is difficult because some of them are addictive. Some of them are addictive because they taste nice. Midget gems are nice, but I don't eat them.
I like licorice.
You understand where I'm coming from, though?
Speaking
of red wine.
Got a bottle of Rioja. Yeah.
But all these things are nice, you know? That's the problem. They're all nice. And that's, again, it's Adam and Eve, isn't it? It's the apple. They'll be surrounded by so many of these apples to pluck off that are toxic. And on top of that, the poisoners we're spraying and whatever else crap they've got going on. And likewise, we say iPhones as well, the same thing. iPhones, putting them ear pods in, all these things, everything that's a scary thing, isn't it, when you think about it? Every single thing that we do in his life is toxic. Everything. The majority of things that are offered to us are toxic.
Or it's propagandizing you.
Yeah, but the same thing, toxic. It's mentally toxic.
We mentioned in a Zuxi thing, didn't I? I was saying, if you're going to Waterstones, there's been no books I've got on a shelf here in Waterstones.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that makes my reading habits any better than anyone else's, but what I mean is it's in Waterstones for a reason. It's there to program you, isn't
it? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's there because they want it there. It's a narrative. It's pushing a narrative, isn't it?
Like, we were on about Audible earlier. I looked on Audible the other day and who is it? Prince Harry's book's there every day. First,
isn't
first
it weird,
one there.
Right?
He sold that for 6 months. He was on TV selling it for 6 months. Yeah. Wasn't
it? Isn't it weird, though? They're allowing him on TV even though he's anti-royal now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still bullshit. Yeah, absolutely. Just an act, innit? His wife's an actress. Pantomime.
More pantomime. And he gets to sell his book at the end of it.
Yeah. And tell a story, though. Again, look at the shite story he's telling. Have you seen now? He's been with, is it Gaba Matar or whatever he's called, who's a like this psychologist guy. I've got a couple of his books, actually. Quite interesting, his books. I think he wrote the one that's Zebras Don't Have Ulcers. Why Zebras Don't Have Ulcers? Right, interesting way of looking at it. Just on a sidetrack. Yeah, on a sidetrack. Why? Because what he was basically saying.
Cheetah could jump out and eat him any minute.
Exactly. They could be at water hole, having some water. An alligator could drag him in, or a lion could jump on the back. But yet they don't get ulcers from trauma.
Probably no cancer either.
But he's not realised what the ulcers are coming from. You know, he puts it, because he's a psychologist or a psychiatrist, he puts it down to stress.
Mental stress.
He doesn't realise that this stress is, or he might do, he might be part of it. But anyway, so Harry's going to see him anyway, a psychiatrist, to talk about his trauma, which I'm sure
with his mum. Slightly dodgy if I was talking to him.
Yeah. With his mum being knocked off. They did go through trauma. There's no doubt about it, is there?
Do you know what, Fai? Who knows? Maybe the whole thing's a shenanigans. I really don't know anymore. Do you know, is Harry playing a part now at this point in time? You know, he's stressed. Cause I don't know.
I'm sure he's playing a part, Chris. I'm sure he's playing a part.
I don't know. I really don't know.
I can't trust any of these. I mean, so he's anti-royal, but yet he was calling out people who were not having jabs and calling them conspiracy nutters and all that type of stuff.
Was he one of them?
No, he was one of them.
And if I look on the online Daily Mail, which I look occasionally for this, he's in about five or six different articles.
Yes, and his wife.
And him and his wife. Yeah.
Yeah, she's hated, apparently.
I'm not going to say a clown world because we've overused it. But
yeah. It's worse than clown world.
I don't know what I'm looking at anymore.
It's worse than clown world, isn't it? But I mean, is the going back to food? Food is, it gets very contentious when I talk to people, because you know how direct I am at times. And I would talk to someone the other day who thought they were eating healthy. And I said, all right, then, they are eating healthy. What they were eating, there's nothing wrong with that, right? What they're eating. And I'll tell you in a sec what they were eating. But as soon as she told me, I went, you can't eat that. And she looked at me like I was taking because what happened is this person's given up so much of their life. And they thought that was the line that they went back to.
Totally.
And now you're saying, no. You can't eat that. You can't eat porridge. Porridge, even gluten-free. You're going to need to go on a low-carb diet. And that's
porridge
not a fad thing.
I don't know why people eat it. I think
porridge
is disgusting.
I love porridge. Loved it. I love porridge, but I don't eat it.
I never
loved
liked it.
Yeah, loved it. But anyway, so there were foods there that you just can't eat. And like I said, potatoes one for me. Can't eat them.
So you just ruined that woman's day.
Well, no. What I was saying to her is, you come in for treatments, and you're paying hard-earned money for treatments.
All right.
And spending time coming over and taking time out your day, you know. She's been seriously ill with Lyme, right?
Right.
And I'm saying, to get more bang for your buck, you've got to stop your body working overtime. So if it can't handle certain things in your life, whether it's food, whether you've got one of them stupid Glade air fresheners that keep spurting out shite into your house, just because it smells like bluebells in it. You walk past them and they're just and spraying bluebells into air that aren't really bluebells. It's just Bill Gates' toxic shit. And you're breathing all that crap. There might be some things that you can't handle in your life, and if you don't get rid of them, you're not wasting your money, but you're not getting full value for your time and effort that you're putting in.
Hmm.
That's what I, the reason why.
So she was actually a customer and you told her that, right?
Yeah.
Has she been back, please?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. No, in fairness...
I'm joking.
Yeah, no. In fairness, people know I've been through the same thing.
Mm.
So I'm not saying it to... I never mention it to people to try and win an argument, because there is no win in any of this. It's only lose, because you've got to cut things out. And certain things now I'll never eat again because they don't agree with me. Aftershave, for argument's sake, yeah, I can only use... I've got one aftershave. All the other ones, I've got some kind of chemical sensitivity now. I can't handle the smell of certain chemicals.
You've got that 5-litre bottle of Kuros.
Yeah. That Aramis. but yeah, so there's certain things in your life that you've got to get rid of. You can't have them anymore.
Mm.
And that's hard for people. But the good part is, if you go in and kick all materialistic stuff out of your life, you have less materialistic stuff because you can't have them.
I think, I mean, on a, like you said, everything is getting us one way or another, whether it's films, TV, Waterstones, bookshop. it's just moderation, isn't it? And realising what you're doing as well.
I don't know. If it's,
you're not saying moderation, actually. You're saying cut it out.
Well, it depends, because I don't watch news because it poisons my mind, right? I don't watch TV because it poisons my mind. Mm, I don't watch sport. Yeah. I watch it with my young'un because I watched it, so I'm not going to force him to stop. He sees a lot of things going on. Yeah, exactly.
A couple of films.
Yeah. So some things you can handle in, some things you can handle in moderation.
Mm.
But if you have something to eat and you know you're going to be laid up for 3 days, I think that's stupidity.
Yeah.
And that's as bad as it gets, Chris. Honestly, that's how it used to make me feel. Not anymore. If I have something bad now, sinuses will blow up or something like that, and it'll be over the day after. However, it still seems like you're self-harming. And we're making it too easy for these bastards to win by making yourself poorly.
Yeah. What about rice? I had a big bowl of rice over there, and my sinuses blew up.
Yeah, well, rice is another one.
I haven't had rice for ages.
Rice seems to be all right with me. It's one of those ones that seem all right. But my wife, she has it and doesn't agree with her at all.
Mm.
Just doesn't agree with certain people. Some people it does, some it don't. I was talking to somebody who had colitis, and tomatoes are all right. He gets away with tomatoes. I have them, blows me up. I can feel the inflammation, which is a shame because I like tomatoes. Whereas garlic, for argument's sake, and onions, I can only eat them if they're cooked. They're fine. I get away with them. If they're cooked, don't have any repercussions with them. If I eat them raw, that's it for the day.
Right. I love garlic and I love raw onions.
So do I. the thing is, this isn't about that you like it, right, or don't like it.
I don't...
This is about whether it does anything to you and it adds to your daily stress, if you like. You know what I mean?
I don't really monitor it, you see, so I don't really think about it. The one thing I do know, if I eat fish and chips, that blows me up.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes, but then other times
I don't eat fish and chips. Can't eat them.
Really?
Can't eat, well, anyway, can't eat the batter. No,
I eat a lot of fish.
Yeah.
I eat a lot of fish now.
Fish is every meal nearly for me.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I ditched meat like over 3 years ago.
Mm.
Not for any reason. I didn't even tell anyone because I didn't want to be that guy.
Yeah, but I don't look at it as a stigma now. Mine were a health factor for changing how I live my life. Not because I want it to be trendy or I want it to be outgoing and turn vegan, you know.
No, my main point was I stopped eating meat because my missus is pescatarian and I weren't buying any or eating any.
Mm.
And she said, why don't you give it a try? And I said, yeah, maybe I will. I think because it sounds really weird, this, because we've got two cats and I look at them and think, I couldn't eat you.
I wouldn't eat a cat anyway. What do you want to eat a cat for? I couldn't eat mice either, Chris.
But I went and saw Seb in Vietnam and him and all his mates were vegan. So I went with them for 10 days. But I've not eaten it since, and I've not missed it or cared.
You can remember that email I got off that lady that sent me down a rabbit hole. Yeah. it annoyed me. But that one, when John Aymer said he couldn't find a sandwich, we're all veggies, and he went into the kitchen and said he wants a chicken sandwich. And somebody emailed us in, if you're listening, you probably know who you are, emailed in this email saying blah, 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 blah. So I did a load of research on veganism, and veganism's a psyop. There's no doubt about it. I'm not saying it's a total... When you look into the history of it, even in the 50s and 60s, it was some kind of psyop, and it's being used as a psyop. Now, the argument is it's cruel to kill animals. Yeah, you could say it's cruel to kill animals, but it's happened from thousands of years. Where does it stop? I mean, vegans, I'm sure, walk across fields and kill beetles and flies and all sorts of stuff, and mosquitoes and stuff like that. I don't know where it stops. Is it living beings, or is it just certain animals that it's cruel to kill?
Like you just said, though, the vegan thing was clear. The reason you can tell it was some form of psyop, and I don't know what it was, is because there were activists. If there's activists involved these days,
yeah,
it's some form of psyop. Yeah. But I'm all right eating fish because they ain't got eyebrows.
Now, does that mean that I agree with massive agricultural meat farming? No, I think it's awful. If anybody's been to a battery farm, to a chicken battery farm, that petrified me when I went there as a kid. I went to one as a kid. It was horrendous. No animal should be kept in those conditions. There is no need for it. Look out my window; it's all green fields. There is no need to lock animals in farms like that. The concentration camps, they're cruel. They're not good. And also, when you see stuff like grass-fed cows, that's nonsense as well. Nonsense. Because they might let them out in field for a few hours. That's grass-fed. They can lock them up for the rest of the day. It's all nonsense. We're just living
quite
in
funny, in Cambridge, actually, fire, just down from me, where the park is, there's constant cows wandering around.
Yeah.
Right next to people.
Right.
It's quite nice. It's quite nice, but it's quite bizarre.
Till one of them nuts one of them.
Yeah, I was with our sis on my bike a year or so ago.
Right.
And one just came up behind me and licked me on my arm.
Right. What did you say, your ass then?
I think it was in the middle of lockdown, actually. I still went out in lockdown.
Right.
We used to go for a cycle through.
Well, we used to have cows, didn't we? We used to feed them buckets and stuff like that.
Well, me and you were on, yeah.
Me calf and you tutor.
Were on today that we used to go to, his dad were a butcher. And he took us to the slaughterhouse. I was telling, actually, a lad I work with, chef I work with, and I was just telling him in a jovial way, and he was absolutely horrified that his dad used to take us there. We were on about it over there. They said, and you had an anger problem, and I make weird sculptures.
But, I mean, it was his upbringing as well, because, you know.
We lived on a farm.
His dad were a butcher. You know,
I remember telling my mum and dad I was going to be vegetarian when I was about 12, maybe a bit older, maybe 14. And no one spoke to me for like 2 days.
Yeah.
I was eating steak and I thought, I don't want to eat this.
I don't eat red meat, right? I will eat it every now and again, but I don't eat red meat. I don't eat lamb. I don't eat. And it's only the choice really is that it doesn't agree with me. So that's why I don't eat. If fish and chicken didn't agree with me, and it were a vegan diet I needed to be on, I'd be on a vegan diet. That's how willing I am.
Yeah, it works for some folks, doesn't it?
We also have people coming in who are on vegan diets who are basically suffering, malnutrition, because they're not getting the nutrients, because they can't handle the vegan diet. Some people thrive on it, some people don't. Mm. Some people thrive on it for a period of time, but then need to go to another diet. Everybody's different. You can't say a vegan diet is right for everybody. A carnivore diet is right for everybody. Mm. Ketogenic diet. If you look at the diets that they eat, you mentioned Italy. I think it's Sardinia. It's Sardinia, isn't it? Their longevity there, I think it's the highest in Europe. Right. And they eat high carb diets and high fat diets and eat rubbish. But their longevity and health quality is probably the best in Europe, or one of them. Catherine Amberlin will tell us some different. I think she lives in Sardinia or Corsica, anyway, but one or two.
Could that be down to mentality and environment? You
know, well, they do say that the social structure's better, where people help each other. They're not ready for cutting each other's throat to get one.
Actually happens in hot places as well.
Yeah, like Thailand and Cambodia and people.
More sociable, like street sociable. We're holed up in his houses.
Wherever you get competition, Chris, that's where you get the stress.
Do you know something I found, right? I'm not saying I've travelled everywhere, but in my experience of going around countries I've been to, you get big cities and people are always a little bit harsher. Yes. Like, I mean, even in England, you said Londoners are a bit harsher, a bit more streetwise or whatever, a bit more dodgy or whatever. But you find the same thing, and even me and my missus...
A bit more parasitical.
Yeah, because they're vying for... but I noticed we went to Sri Lanka, and the only place where we got ripped off in a tuk-tuk was in the capital. Everywhere else were lovely. It's the only place where people were a little bit colder and a bit nastier.
Well, the feel, again, they did that exercise with all them monkeys, didn't they? Where when they were running free, they all shared food with each other and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they penned them all in, they were all killing each other.
Did it with rabbits as well, I think. The closer they got together, the more prone they were to just drop dead.
Did it with rabbits, I think they did it with rats. All sorts of animals. So is it any wonder they're wanting that stressed, fearful environment so you can't make decisions properly?
And poisoned. I don't want to mention it. Well, I do want to mention it, but the old 20-minute city thing, cram us all together, stresses out that little bit more.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, isn't it?
It's all about that. All about that. I don't know if you watched Sadiq Khan saying anybody who disagrees with these 15-minute cities are all part of the anti-vaxxers, far right.
Why did they get far right? I never get the link.
Again, like Ed was saying on his podcast the other day, they will lob you into this group over and over, tell people, if you're thinking this, this is the group you're in. This is this pot that we're going to put you in. So if you say we're mad, so by questioning madness, it's you that's mad.
Yeah. Well, you can see everything we talk about. You can see where they want it to go, whether it will or not, I don't know, which is literally like you just said. If you disagree with the official stance, i.e. the jibby jabs or the cities or whatever, you'll be a lunatic.
And yes.
I'd say that that's where they want it to go, whether it does or not, I don't know. Because you remember at the beginning of the nonsense, they brought in that you only need one doctor to certify in mental. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And then you've got all these people, especially at the younger end, talking about mental health and then getting prescribed tablets for it. Is that going to be brought up in later years when they realise something?
Well, yeah, I always say to people, if you can help it, don't go get on that list for any sort of mental health. Why has there been a drive for it, Chris? When you've got Prince Bald Gojackhead talking to footballers about mental health. Football's the biggest sport, right? And you've got all these footballers now saying they've got mental health problems. Who's going to watch it all? Yeah. So it's now trendy, if you look up to footballers, to have the same thing. You go straight to the doctor, they palm you off with some sort of things. Now you're on a list. So if you question anything in future about something, they can say to you, yeah, but you've got mental health problems. And I know somebody, right?
It could be true, couldn't it?
Well, I'll run a scenario. Let's just say you've been taking some tablets, not anything to do with mental health, yeah? Could be something else. And the side effects are causing you a problem. So you get the packet and you look at all the side effects and you've got every one of these side effects of these tablets. And it's causing you to have anxiety, and they haven't listed anxiety on your tablets, yeah? But they've got it written down that you've had anxiety, your doctors. So you go in there and say, look, doctor, these tablets that I've been on, every one of these, I've got a symptom of every one of these, and it's on this list. And that doctor says to you, yeah, but we think you're mentally ill, so we think we need to sort that out first.
How is that more important?
Because that's the one that they can always fall back to, because they can't, other than saying the metabolic's up and they shouldn't have been giving them drugs, they've got to fall back, haven't they? And I'm using that as one example, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
As one example. And how many people in the last 30 years probably have been to the doctors, and the doctors tried palming them off on some kind of mental illness track because of the push. That's where the push is. Listen, this though, Chris, I was talking to a doctor the other day. Talking to a doctor the other day, right? And I'll call them they, I'll be non-binary. They, because I don't want to mention sex or whatever. They were telling me, they know a nurse who's a midwife nurse, right? And this is a doctor, this is GP, right? Who's a midwife, who were telling them that, anyway, she'd been had a load of grief during the lockdowns because she wouldn't take jabbing and all this type of stuff. Anyway, she was telling them that the hospitals have got targets for when they're delivering babies, for how the births are delivered. So if they do cesareans, they get a certain amount of money. If they do forceps deliveries, they get a certain amount of money. If they induce mothers, they get a certain amount of money. And they've got to hit certain targets to bring a certain amount of money in every month.
Fuck.
Even if they don't need it.
Well, it's a fact, I think, Fatty. And, well, I'm going to say it's a fact, but don't quote me on this. But I think in America, because it's totally privatised, I think a massive percentage of cesarean births, because they get more money for it, like literally quadruple the money.
Yeah,
for a natural birth. I think it's somewhere like 80%. I might be wrong.
You were born cesarean, weren't you?
Yeah, well, which is weird because you were first one out.
No, but the odd one is
I've got a massive
traffic lights in my car, and you got out at sunroof. It's been a problem for you all your life, that, hasn't it?
I've got a massive head, so I reckon that's why I was cesarean.
Yeah,
you've got a bullet head. You're a bullethead.
anyway, go on,
but I think I'll Google it after. But I think the amount of cesareans in America is something like 80%. Something stupid. Well, if it's 60%, it's still very high, isn't it? If it's 50%, it's still very high.
Yeah, it
have
is.
A look. But it's because the hospital gets like double the money, quadruple the money, or something stupid.
Right.
I remember hearing about that years ago. Yeah. And that ties us in, actually, Fatty. That thing I was just looking at, I was watching, while we were just going to come on, I was just looking at the news quickly. And there was an article on the news, like local news in Cambridge. And it was saying that they've built a prison in Norwich, that they can just whip up these prisons really quick. Because they're expecting an increase in prisoners.
Right.
And I thought, that's weird. What a weird thing to, you know, just do an article on the news that they build these prisons that are really quick to build. Because there's going to be an increase in prisoners. Why is there going to be an increase in prisoners? So I had a look on the, I had a look at it, right? 2015 to 2020, prisoners was 82,000 to 86,000. Kind of wavered in between. It dropped to 78,000 in 2021 because of COVID, apparently.
Yeah.
But their forecast going up to 2026, which is in 3 years, is 98,000. So it's going to go up 10,000, 15,000 in the next 3 years.
Yeah, but how much has it gone up since end of lockdowns?
Well, this is the
if
point.
You add that
since
bit
lockdowns,
into that as well,
it's just a steady rise upwards, basically. But what I mean is, they already knew that was going to happen. They were already building prisons. They said it's because they've got extra police officers,
right.
3,500 extra prisons. What I'm saying is, does that tie into what we were saying about getting locked up for being mental? Are they planning on locking up more people? I don't mean to be a scaremonger.
Well, whether they're going to lock up more people, I think, let's just say they destroy the economy. There's going to be more crime, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah, well, exactly.
Whether it's for that or not.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk about euthanasia in a bit. And one of the things that they discuss to be euthanized is not only do you have to be close to death like that were it, which I suppose there is a decent argument for that. We'll come to that anyway. But one of them's mental illness. So now if you're really pissed off, you can go and get euthanized.
Which is basically Nazi and America's 1930s America version of euthanasia, which is if you're not fitting into society, basically you need to go.
Yes.
You're just delivering in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. Going back to your cesarean births in America, I'll look at UK as well. In America, 32% of all live births are born in C-section.
Right, I exaggerate then with 60.
It's still it's a third of all births.
It's a lot, isn't it? I mean, it's a rarity over here, isn't it?
I don't know. 4 women in the UK give birth to cesarean. 1 in 4 women, so it's 25%.
All right, so it's right. I take it all back then. It's higher than I thought.
Yeah, yeah. So and so if they've got targets or a plan to how much does it cost to do a C-section? A natural delivery 800. Well, that's a fucking dog. 800 quid.
I was used to wind his mum up that you were the favourite because I was a cesarean. She always held it against me.
it costs 1,700 quid.
Right.
More than double what it is for a birth. But when you look at it as a cost rather than an invoice,
well,
two different things, isn't it?
Just the fact that someone has actually said, we've got targets. As soon as you mention targets, you're not in a care system, are you? In a business.
No. Well, it's a trust. This thing's going to turn money over. A cash cow.
So it's always going to turn money over.
Well, again, I'll come back to another thing. I know loads of people who are having plastic knees put in.
Right.
And obviously, the pain disappears for a lot of them. I also know somebody, well, I don't know him, but I know of somebody who's had 3 hip transplants or replacements, and they haven't gone right. He's going to have a fourth.
That makes me fucking nuts, jolt.
So, when we were kids, all right, there were people whose knees were knackered and stuff like that. But I have to ask me why somebody in the 50s needs a knee transplant unless they've had an accident, for argument's sake. Because that tells me that the joints, the bones, are weaker, softer, whatever, breaking down, whatever it is, and can't handle. One person who's had both knees done, who I know, they work in an office. It's not like they're a steeplejack or, you know.
So they're not wear and tear.
No, they're not gymnasts or something like that. And they're only like my age, you know. So some of this, there's a cost there. I'm sure I looked and it were like 25 grand for a knee replacement surgery.
So I always think when people talk about things like that, I just think about limescale in water. Because it destroys your washing machine, destroys your kettle. Mm. If you're drinking limescaled water and it kind of calcifies like that,
you've also got to ask yourself, Chris, is limescale limescale?
Well, what is it?
Yeah. Is it really limescale? Or is that what it's called, limescale?
It's a white, powdery, sludgy substance that's left behind when you distill water.
Yeah.
I mean, what I mean is, though, when I was distilling water, I've now put a reverse osmosis machine under my sink. But when I was distilling water, the sludge left behind fire. And if you think, as a human being, you're drinking that and you're having to somehow get rid of that, and then they describe Alzheimer's and dementia as plaque on the brain.
Yeah.
And then you've got these joint things. Is it that, you know, you can almost imagine that dusty white substance could end up collecting on your joints, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Making that up, I ain't got a clue. I'm just saying.
But going in 2009-10, in the UK, there were 73,000, roughly, knee replacement procedures carried out in England alone. This is England. And in 2018-19, it had increased to 94,000.
What?
That, do you know what it reminds me of, that,
That's
Chris?
That's really weird, isn't it?
Yeah. It reminds me of when you used to go to the dentist, and then you after they privatised it, every time you went, you needed a fill-in.
Yeah.
You know, half the time you needed a fill-in, you didn't need one. And so...
Business of illness, business of illness.
Business of illness, yeah.
But the good argument they always have for that is, we've made it cheaper so we can do more now. More people are getting the operation. Yeah. You know, that's the argument, isn't it? And you can't really argue with it, because
I know private, for somebody who I did, I mean, I put it up there, it costs something like 15 grand a knee, roughly.
Yeah. So it's, again, like I've said before, as soon as someone invented a bullet, it's in their interest for them to start shooting bullets or getting other people to shoot bullets. As soon as someone's invented a knee replacement, they want to sell that knee replacement.
Yes, but it's not just a knee replacement, is it? You think about what happens. You're going for an operation. Yeah. They give you antibiotics. They give you a tetanus jab, probably flu jab, hepatitis jab.
You've got each needle, each syringe, each dose.
Now COVID probably as well.
That stuff.
Yeah. So you've got all them things, and you've got a titanium stroke plastic, whatever it is, joint inside you now. Something foreign that, again, causes an autoimmune response to your body.
Yeah.
They probably give you drugs as well to keep your immune system down so your body doesn't reject these things. Mm. Yeah. Then you've got these things that probably, I'm not saying they do, but probably start breaking down the self and leaching shite into your system. Yeah. Not doing enough research to know if that's what they do. But yeah. Anyway, the business of illness and the business of prisons. That is, so these 15-minute cities, and then you've got the prison population increase. You can sort of see where that goes, can't you?
So you've got unrest, smaller, everyone packed together and kicking off. So we need to arrest more people.
Yeah. Kicking off, and we've got a prison in each location. And yeah. And I keep saying that all this is nonsense. Sadiq Khan, you're going to, well, whether they go to hell or not, I meet a lot of people that are like us that know these people are freaks and what they're saying is nonsense. But does the mass population give a shit? They just go home, as long as Dancing on Shite's on, they'll put that on. Yeah. They'll get a can of beer opened or whatever. They'll just carry on.
Hmm.
And then before they know it, they'll be in a 15-minute city selling the kids down a river.
Well, I told you the other day about a conversation I heard in the kitchen I work in. My two guys I really like them. But I heard him, it was quite funny because I heard him talking about the Russian-Ukraine thing.
Yeah.
And just very quickly, long story short, but they were saying, I heard the discussion unfold. I didn't get involved at all.
Mm.
But, you know, so you're talking about, you know, as normal working people, not, you know, not like we, conspiracy theorists, if you like we are. But they were just talking about it. And the conversation went from that Putin, you know, Putin's an asshole, da-da-da, Zelensky's all right, etc., to we need to sort it out and do something about it. These are from two nice blokes who I really like. What my point is they're basically saying, so we should sort it out, is we should arm someone to kill a lot of other people. But it's a similar sort of propagandized. Yeah. They've been ultimately totally propagandized.
Yeah, similar sort of argument that people think the world's overpopulated.
Yeah, exactly the same argument.
We need to do something about it. Well, what are you going to do about it then?
But the point,
because you're all being euthanized anyway.
No, but that last comment you said there, fact, we need to do something about it. They haven't come to that conclusion through anything other than what they've been told on television.
Yeah.
Nothing else. No. They haven't even picked up a book, I would guarantee. Yeah. They haven't even done a Google search on it. They've just gone
BBC, BBC, BBC. Yeah.
It's overpopulated. And we need to sort Putin out. You know, these little soundbite fucking comments.
Yeah. The meme comments, aren't they? That's what they are, comments.
They're just words. It's words that they've learnt somewhere else. They haven't come to that conclusion on their own. They've been made to believe they come to that conclusion. Mm. I sent you an article, actually. I think, did I send it to you? The one about, and it was saying, it was in London, a chef, like, in a Russian restaurant was getting death threats. Right,
yeah, you did send me it, yeah.
I did send it to you, didn't I? But if you look at the numbers, you're saying we used to get like two or three death threats against Russian people or violence against Russian people. Yeah. Now it's gone up to 15. So it's a story of nothing to start with, right?
Yeah.
It's a story of nothing. But if you're angry at Russians over the shite you're seeing on TV, you're an effing idiot, I'm sorry. Yeah. You have to be an idiot. If you're angry at Russians at this point in time, you're an idiot.
I remember going to London once, and it was when they'd invaded Afghanistan. I went past an Afghanistan restaurant, and it had been bombed, it burnt out.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because obviously that Afghanistan restaurant there...
well, again, it's like the...
trouble causes. They weren't trying to earn an honest living, they were just trouble causes.
Yeah, all in there with a machine, yeah. M16s.
Kalashnikovs. Yeah. You had them on menu, we could get a Kalashnikov, M16.
Kalashnikov.
Landmine.
Was Penny Five in there rescuing dogs? Were you in there?
Yeah, you were there, yeah, with some Yorkshire Terriers. No bad.
But do you remember, what is it, 9/11 fight? When the French wouldn't join to bomb Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11, even if you believe the official story. Do you remember the Americans were pouring red wine, French red wine, down the drains?
Yeah, I bet you were crying, weren't you?
Crying, yeah, literally. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing, you morons?
And they stopped calling them French fries and called them freedom fries.
Jesus. Freedom fries.
Yeah.
Right, okay. We're up to an hour, so we're going to leave this first part, and we'll if you join us on in the second part, we'll see you there. If not, we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.